Welcome back to another episode of the Uptime Punks. So doing my travels and everything, I go all kind of different places within Europe, and last couple of months took me a lot to the Nordics, just quite an impressive space. And I mean, obviously it's the renewable energy, hydropower, and all of these things. And you look at the landscape and you just really admire the spirit of the people and how they're driving in with sustainability. I mean, some of you probably hear in the news how it's only going to be electric cars from a certain time onwards. And as I work in tech and always have been in tech and a big tech enthusiast, I came across something called the tech barbecue. And I was like, oh God, I love barbecues. What is this all about? So I reached out to them and I said, guys, tech barbecue, what is this tech barbecue about? So I got Sam and Kay with me here today, who are going to speak with us a little bit about why Denmark is such a hot spot, why are the Nordics the best destination within the world, and why every venture capitalist needs to look north and not south, and why Copenhagen is the Silicon Valley of the north. Maybe far-fetched, but welcome you both to the show. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here today. Thanks for having us on this episode. I'm really excited to have this discussion to dive in and, you know, to see what can be offered to the global knowledge. I mean, whatever you said, we are so grateful. quite a stretch, no stress on the local and Nordic ecosystem and the startup community, because delightful to see. This is the impression we have had outside of the Nordics.
Yeah.
But yes, Denmark, Nordic has a lot to offer. Just to highlight here, none of us are authentic Danes, and that actually shows Denmark precisely. We are talking on behalf of our nation here, Danish nation, is a land of opportunity. There must have been a shift from previously Silicon Valley being known as a land of opportunity. I think Denmark actually is a land of opportunity.
Runner up.
Yeah.
Take the cake.
And also we do have a lot more than, you know, we can offer. Hidden gem. In the Northern Europe, I must say.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, the food is fantastic in Copenhagen. I mean, some of the best restaurants in the world.
Yeah, one of the selling points we have, you know, Kay, this is something we actually sell to our international stakeholder quite often. The best restaurants and, you know, the top restaurant actually is based in Copenhagen, which we're not going to do the marketing
we've
pitch
never
for
been,
them.
But we've been like,
how did the name Tech Barbecue? I mean, how did you guys come up with the name? Why is it not like how everybody would do it? Tech Summit Copenhagen or the Tech Meetup or something like this. Where did the barbecue come from?
Interesting story. So basically, none of us are the founders of Tech Barbecue. We have one of the cool founder of Tech Barbecue is David Haggerston, who is the founder of Unity. He's an international well-known person who is part of our, you know, board, advisory board for a couple of years, and he started his own VC fund in Iceland. And we send him the best regards if he's going to listen to this, and I hope he is. It's a quite an empowering session to have because it shows how much Tech Barbecue has grown over years. If you allow me, Kay, I will take this a little bit further. So Tech Barbecue, and actually before I start that, when I joined Tech Barbecue, this is my 7th year, and we are celebrating our 11th year this year. When I joined the first couple of years, I've been approached by many, many catering companies because we thought we are selling sausages on Tech Barbecue platform. So we had this, you know, people coming to us and asking us, are you willing to sell our product? And it took them a while to see, okay, Tech Barbecue is not a restaurant platform perhaps.
I mean, people, when I explain what I do and I say work for Tech Barbecue, the first thing that comes to mind visually is like a really innovative barbecue. And I think that I work with like the barbecue system.
Yes. So I mean, to some extent we do, right? And that's where we're going to take you to. So 2012, bunch of Danish entrepreneurs decided to create this cool hooklet, which is a Danish word, which means cozy, event in one of the parks in Copenhagen, and gather a bunch of innovators, tech innovators and investors and founders to create this really small gathering to network, to exchange ideas, inspire each other. This is back in 2012, which, as I said, is 11th year anniversary for us this year. But over the past few years, we've seen a growth in what we do, and this platform became one of the largest startup tech events in Europe and with more international angle to it. And our mission and vision is basically putting the Nordic startup ecosystem on the spotlight and putting more focus on what's happening in Nordics and become the catalyst for innovation, venture, and technology.
I'd also say that, like, starting with, you know, the first event, which had 300 people, and now last year we had 6,500. It kind of speaks to both the growth of the Nordics in the last decade, but then also the interest in the Nordics because of the fact that we're growing internationally and how many people are, like, looking into what's happening in this space, both investment wise, starting business, which is, yeah, just really cool to see that we've kind of grown alongside the ecosystem as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Why do you think the Nordics are such a fast growing space at the moment? I mean, if you look at the European landscape when it comes to tech, okay, you have countries like Germany booming, UK, London is probably one of the tech capitals in the world. I mean, every major tech company probably has a setup in London. And then you have Amsterdam is growing. And then all of a sudden, the Nordics are popping up. I mean, you have Stockholm, which is quite a stronghold, I think. Oslo is there as well, and Copenhagen as well. But why do you think the Nordics are, like, now really gearing up for the next stage?
There are many, many aspects to this. But to highlight here, you said something really interesting earlier. You said next Silicon Valley. Copenhagen becomes the next Silicon Valley. That's a bold statement. And, you know, without putting so much stress on the local ecosystem, we are willing to become next to the Silicon Valley of Europe, let's say. And I think on this growth and journey, there are so many kind of players to this. For sake of naming some of the amazing portfolio companies and unicorn founders in them, Denmark or Nordics is a home to companies like stuff, Supercell, Lunar, Spotify, Northor, Kahoot, or Plio. And the kind of, you know, based on the latest deal room report, we have a value, if you know, that this ecosystem or Nordic ecosystem is valued for 1.4 trillion and home for 63 unicorns. And if you do a direct comparison to the geographical size, we can compare it to Florida, which they have only 33 unicorns. Therefore, there is something really valuable behind this, and there are so many aspects which helped Nordic ecosystem to become to a level it is right now.
I think as well, like, we're not like one market, right? So, like, Denmark on its own is quite small, which is often why we get seen and put together as, like, the Nordic thing, and also because we have quite a transferable culture. And I think some of our industries are also pretty common. So when you approach the Nordics, if you approach one country, it's also like a gateway to the rest. And I think that makes it a lot easier to start investing because we have so many kind of VCs that operate across the Nordics. And so that wealth of, you know, being able to share knowledge makes it easier. Once you know one person, you can then expand even wider. And so, I mean, just speaking from the Danish perspective, right, if we're going to go a little bit more insular, because I can't totally speak for the growth of, you know, Sweden and Oslo and Norway and stuff. But I think from an outside perspective, like, we have a lot of strong industries, which have kind of been paved the way by some of our bigger companies as well. If you look at Novo Nordisk, and then we have a really booming health tech sector. It's allowed for partnerships with startups, kind of, for startups to kind of sell their technologies to Novo Nordisk, to partner with them. We have, like, the clean tech sector, Ørsted,
yeah.
Vattenfall, which is, I think,
yeah,
Norwegian, Rambøll. So a lot of engineering.
That's Swedish, to correct it. Vattenfall is Swedish.
Yeah. So I think that in that way, we've paved the way for industry, but then we also have things like a really supportive government scheme. We have a lot of initiatives happening. So we have a lot of foundations who invest or, like, kind of provide grants and subsidies to different startups.
Since we are under the foundation topic, I think it's a really interesting knowledge to have. Denmark is the first country has the largest number of foundations per capita. We have around 4,000, country of almost 5.8 million, we have around 4,800 foundations, which has been on decline journey for the past few years for certain reasons. We're not going to, you know, go deep into that. But so these foundations are willing to give back to the society. You take it from, you know, various different initiatives to startup initiatives, which, you know, they are in the battle with the government because who supports the most, but they are there to support the government.
Yeah.
Sorry, support the startup and society, not the government.
I'd also say, like, our research and, like, academic institutions are really, so we have a great sort of availability of talent coming out of, you know, our universities. If you look at Denmark's Technical University, we were ranked number three in the world, best at engineering and technology under MIT and Stanford, which is huge to say that, like, you know, we also then have a lot of spin-outs, but we also have a lot of talent available to the labor market to start working in startups, you know, create startups, whatever it might be, kind of fill in that talent gap. There's a lot of things I think at play for why it is the way it is, but it's sort of that hidden gem that people are like, okay, we know about Germany, we know about the UK, we know about Silicon Valley, let's look at a region that is exciting, there's stuff happening, but it's still early, and you can get involved before it's, like, I don't know, oversaturated.
There's an annual report that actually comes out from Atomico, one of the, you know, Nordic, you know, well-known funds. They published the first quarter of the year, and Denmark, and you name Netherlands, they showed some promising, exceptional results versus other rest of the kind of slowdown tech investments. So Denmark and Netherlands were the only country, if you do a direct comparison to last year, this time, the first quarter, they actually exceeded 2020 first quarter numbers, which again shows the strength behind both Netherlands and Danish kind of startup ecosystem. Because if in the global catastrophic situation, there is a raise in investment, actually shows some light end of the tunnel.
But then at the same time, we were also talking earlier about the kind of growth stage funding,
yeah,
and what we're kind of lacking there, and how we have a lot of early stage Series A companies, but then when it gets to sort of Series C,
plus,
they tend to kind of go beyond.
We don't have later stage funding in Europe. We do have a few, but to the kind of to help us to have that speedy growth and raising capital, we are lacking kind of, you know, various availability, available funding, late stage funding for our scale up and startups. Therefore, sadly, people from the Nordics, they need to look elsewhere, and they give the opportunity outside of the Nordic, hence, you know, to the UK, to Germany, or to the most relevant hub, which is Silicon Valley, which is good, which gives us the momentum to bring back these wonderful funds and put the spotlight on the Nordic ecosystem, make sure they are aware of the golden opportunities and these incredible founders and the startups in the Nordics. That's our responsibility as a community player, as a platform, make sure that they are aware of these cases, and that's where Tech Barbecue plays a, I think, pivotal role here.
So the main objective for you guys is to try to really find funding for these tech startups which are coming out of your community. Do you not find a lot of these fundings in the local community, meaning the local VC community? Because according to my knowledge, I mean, I'm not an expert in it, a lot of the Nordics, a lot of the funds and a lot of the private equities, they're moving sort of out of oil and gas into other areas which are more sustainable in on their portfolio, which is then obviously tech. That's why you have so many e-bike startups in the Nordics, I think, and stuff like e-mobility.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. I give you another amazing, based on latest report, I think, if I'm not wrong, it was from PitchBook. 41% of the European or maybe regional funding went to impact startups last year. that's substantial. Almost half of the funding in the region last year went towards impact. Again, shows the agenda-driven community and creating a better living for our future generation. We have set an example. In one of your episodes, actually, you asked Namood, I think one of your guests. Where do you see, is it the US, Europe, or Asia taking over this? I mean, not to putting again Nordics or region on this, you know, pedestal and say we're doing excellent, but the results and percentages shows, geez, there is a lot to offer. The capital goes to impact and we are driving this agenda, maybe in Europe, but in the global aspect and seeing the results coming out of the Nordics, we are doing really good around impact. And many other things, not again putting like, we have so much strength in fintech, yet alone in Denmark, we had around 4 fintech unicorns, which again shows, you know, how good we're doing SaaS and many other industries, biotech, health tech, because for sake of, as Kay said, we have a huge collaboration, you know, support from the Novo Nordisk, one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world. And Maersk is another one. So the others, if you want to list them up, we just got to
work. It'd be endless. I think it's quite interesting. The reason why I asked Amut that time the question was because sort of the US, everybody thinks the US is so advanced and everything is happening in America. But the Americans are actually looking at the Central Europeans and how they're doing it. And sort of the debates in Germany are not, to kind of take Germany now as an example, in Germany are not looking to the West, they're not looking to the East, no, they're looking up North and they're saying, hey, look at this, they know how to do this in a sustainable way.
Indeed.
A lot of people don't know, Microsoft has built a data center in the Nordics completely out of wood.
Yeah.
So, and this is only in the Nordics. And Microsoft doesn't even have this in the US, doesn't have it in Asia, doesn't have it anywhere. It's in the Nordics because the government was like, okay, you guys want to build a data center? That's how you do it. And sort of everything with tech touches data centers. So a lot of people don't know, but that's sort of where probably more knowledgeable than with other things, is that anything you use touches the data center. The Nordics, they're just absolutely riding the wave of innovation and how to really be sustainable. And this is not just in how to create new ecosystems, but this is also really how to live with a more sustainable way than anybody else. That's why hydropower and all of these things is quite interesting.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the biggest funding from the government goes to research and analysis annually. That's the biggest they actually allocate to do research and analysis. What we do with those knowledge, disseminate that knowledge across the board, giving that data to the others to use. But again, we're really good at different things. One of the things actually you mentioned, the accessibility to capital and showing, last year at Startup Grind, one of the local Silicon Valley and global tech startup summit, it's called the Startup Grind. Doug Leo, actually one of the, gods in venture capital mentioned, correct me, I'm not going to make it a bolder statement here, but he said for past few decades, many, many cases came out of Silicon Valley, but that's got to change in the future. Almost 40, 50% of the cases will come from Europe. And that has been showing a track record. Again, number of unicorns came out of Europe. Also, additionally, bigger funds moving to Europe. For lack of naming few of them, Sequoia moved the office to London and they deployed 3 partners. And they kind of, had one of the wonderful partners from the other funds, Lightspeed moved office to London as well. Many others which we are aware or not aware of. So there is a shift from Silicon Valley to the other hubs as well, and I think those hubs are focusing on the Nordics more than ever because we see the movement and the activities in the region as well.
Mm. Do you think in... Oh, this is going to be a tricky one. I don't know if you want to answer this one. I'm just going to go for it. I told you I'm going to pull the trigger at some point. Do you think investors in Europe are not as... better way of saying it. Do you think investors in Europe are more conservative when investing into startups than investors are in the US? Because in the US, you run a business plan, you come up with some idea with some app, you walk into office and you say, hey, I need $100 million to make this happen. While if you try to do this in Europe, people are going to look at you and be like, 100 million, first of all, is not going to happen. Remove two zeros. Then sort of startups have to scale up in a completely different way than how they would scale up somewhere over in the US. Speaking out of experience, friend of mine, he created a wonderful AI product and he's trying since a year and a half to get it off the ground. While if he would fly to the US, go somewhere in the Silicon Valley, sit in a coffee shop and go like, hey, I have this great idea. People will throw money at him. How do you guys see this as a heart of the community? Do you think it is more difficult for tech startups in Europe to thrive and to grow than it would be in the US?
I think, look at it as a US as a whole market, right? You can see actually I'm mumbling a little bit. I feel like I need to make sure what I'm saying is politically correct. And I tend to have a different direction sometimes. So Kay would definitely jump in if she needs to. But look at the size of the country, right? And look at Europe. One of the things, Europe is doing really well in creating policy, but we are not still aligned to create a synergized policy across the board. Every government, every country, they need to also run their own agenda. Therefore, meeting the kind of, one region as a whole, which is US versus Europe, they have a better to go market. They have a better market traction than Europe, yes? But the wealth generation behind Europe, it might be 10x, which we don't know of. It's easier to raise money in US, of course, because they have more available capital to deploy and they have a better market to scale their companies. But this has been proven otherwise for the past few years. If you see again, first quarter of this year, especially, the US has the biggest decline in raising capital. I'm not sure why this has been, conservative market, whatever you want to name it, shifting in economy focused. On the other side, I would say maybe we don't have enough cases in Europe, in US anymore. Again, going back what Doug Leo said a few years ago, right? We don't have enough supply for the demand they have in the country. Mm-hmm. Versus we see in Europe, we have more supply than ever because the government has stepped in, regional government has stepped in to promote entrepreneurship, to give back to the society, to implement more initiatives in order to meet the demands they need to have in their own country or European region, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, also there's definitely, I don't know exactly what it is, by no means am I like an expert in sort of VC, but there's definitely also like a cultural evolution in the entrepreneurial space that has developed differently in Europe. And that's a, I would even suggest like a kind of the American way, which you then layer onto something like venture capital and business building versus like the Danish way layered onto, venture capital and business building. So maybe just, it could be the fact that the Americans are less risk averse. They take leaps, they take rounds versus in Denmark.
Yeah, it's quite, it's a funny one. It caused a long debate in a beer garden in Munich a couple of weeks ago. And it got quite heated because then basically somebody said, how can it be that we have the greatest cars, the greatest trains, the greatest airplanes, the greatest this, all of these inventions, which we're exporting all over the world. And then it stopped, and then it stops with SAP, and that's it. That's the only great tech thing that came out of Europe.
That's not the only one. We have so many other cases, right? Which came out of Europe. But yes, you're right. SAP.
I mean, the US has Facebook, Microsoft, all of these things, and all of these things really were created because you had this investor market that really backed these young entrepreneurs who came up with these tech ideas, and that's something that sort of in Europe went missing. And that's, I think that's something that needs to change because like you said, the economy in the US, well, is it healthy at the moment? We're not experts here, so let's not make the stock market drop. But maybe it's quite inflated. I don't know. Maybe the next crisis is around the corner or whatever it is. But I think the European market is quite stable. It needs to start being independent from other markets. And it's actually big enough to do so. But yeah, now we're getting too much into politics. Maybe we need to...
on the next debate, we will have us running for the office as well. We're not going to run for that. For it. But yeah...
Well, in the UK, you can try. Apparently, anybody can run for office here. Okay. It doesn't matter if you're a good politician or not, but people will vote for you or not. Okay, there's a little side swing at the Conservative Party. Okay, so anyways, to get back to the tech barbecue, in the last couple of years, what are some of the highlights you guys had?
Some of the
fairy tales coming out of it. Where would you say, like, this is why we love what we're doing, and that's where it really worked out?
Well, I will just because it's connected, it's a good segue to what we were just talking about, with the US and Europe and this kind of thing. But like last year, one of the people that I thought was really cool that we had on stage and who I didn't actually think that we'd managed to secure was Erica Chung. And she was the whistleblower for the Theranos case that obviously blew up with Elizabeth Holmes. And so she was one of the first people to go in there and blow the whistle, in essence. And her journey has been documented in podcasts and TV series and everything. And so she came to talk about that. And I think that that plays into what we were just talking about earlier. But that was just a really cool, very current, kind of more insightful, investigative approach to having something like this at Tech Barbecue, where I think in Denmark, it's all, you know, we're all about trust and transparency. And it was just cool to merge those two worlds at our event. But that's me speaking from the program.
And to spice it up a little bit, we had one of the bigger, the lead investor in Theranos, actually, at Tech Barbecue as well. So at some point we said, okay, let's see how we're going to have a battlefield here and, you know, save each other's life here. But it went really well and they had a good dialogue as well. It's really interesting. And you know what you've been saying, Kay, is absolutely true. And what we've been doing, really excellent, sharing knowledge, giving enough place for our startup to have exposure, visibility, as well as other things. But to mention, you know, this is not the sales pitch. But what we are hoping out of this to come is like putting spotlight on our ecosystem and making sure globally we echo this often and often. We tell how good Nordic has become over the past few years. And us, Tech Barbecue, is a facilitator, is a bridge between what this ecosystem has to offer and echo this globally. But we have been doing many, many activities, which, you know, initiatives which has provided opportunity to startups to have better access to capital and, you know, have the opportunity to network with many investors. And we have put the investors on the, not pedestal, but we have actually make sure they are accessible to startups. And that initiatives goes through some of our main activities, our networking activities. I give you kind of painting a picture here. The largest allocated space we have at our event is our matchmaking and networking area, making sure we're not, we give enough room for everybody to meet each other. You take it attendees to attendees or talent seeking the next, employer or founder looking for the next founder. Their founder or their colleagues and investor looking for their next cases, or vice versa, startups looking for next investment.
So what are some of the highlights you guys have coming up in September? Well, why should I buy my ticket today, not miss out and book my flights and book a table in the best restaurant in the world?
Right. Okay. One of the things actually we've been really good at, and our head of PR, Kevin, has been excellent for the past few years, making sure tech journalism is on the rise. What we have witnessed for the past few years, tech journalism has been, sort of, I don't know how to put it, really become
deprioritized.
Yeah, deprioritized. and making sure they have a platform to share the knowledge and insight, and because they are the one actually sitting with a lot of knowledge, without saying. And this is a place where we involve them year by year, having them at Tech Barbecue. We put them on the stages. We put them in a place they can actually give back to the society. That's something we've been doing good, and we're not going to, you know, deprioritize this. This agenda would continue growing, and if we grow our event, this agenda would simultaneously grow with Tech Barbecue. We would love to involve more tech journalism with Tech Barbecue, and making sure they are the one echoing and putting a lot of effort to startup life cycle as well. So this is one thing we have been doing, and we are continuing, and we are again putting on the priority list for this year, September.
Mm. I'd also say obviously working at Tech Barbecue, I am a little bit biased, but it is just such a good event if you want to like have a good time whilst being able to meet people easily, right? Like it's 2 days where you have potentially 8,000 to 10,000, I don't know how many people will actually, you know, turn up on the day, but this is like an expectation, turning up who are all relevant, who are all coming from different industries, different backgrounds, and are there to talk to each other. I think in Denmark, typically every day, you're not going to talk to the person on the bus. You're maybe not even going to look at them in the eye. But when Tech Barbecue rolls around, it's a bit like there's a switch and everyone is open. And it's really where you're going to make connections in a very kind of
organic way.
Yeah, and it's natural. Not stale networking. Yeah. It's really like it moves beyond, I think, the 2 days that you're there. You know, whenever we hear stories about people finding their investor at Tech Barbecue or their co-founder or just like connecting with someone from a similar community as them, it's really impactful. And yeah. So you're mixing like fun networking with a barbecue in the garden. I mean, come
on. One of the most delicious briskets you can get in the entire region.
Plus, how big is the barbecue for 10,000 people?
Okay. It's around, I think, to put in the matrix, I would say 5 to 6 meters length. So it wow. can supply the crowd. No stress. You're not going to queue. I can promise you.
Okay, now for all the barbecue enthusiasts out there, how many sausages you guys go through over the 2 days?
We don't have sausages, actually, as I remember.
Texan, like, kind of Southern American-style brisket.
Yeah.
We
have vegan options for vegans, for vegetarians options. So we cover the entire dietary request. Yeah, no stress.
You name it, lactose-free.
Yeah, you need to think about everything these days.
Indeed, yes, yes. But definitely, it's a platform we put. You know, we showcase our strength, and also we celebrate our wins and successes. At the same time, we would love to share the knowledge and bring back the learnings of failures. You know, saying this is how it led this initiative, this is startup to fail. And openly talk about it. One thing again, Nordic is really good at is the openness is there. Mm. People talk about the failures and why they did to ruin the organization and the initiatives they took many years ago, perhaps. And they continue running. They will go full speed to start the new company and learn from the failures.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all what life is about, learning from mistakes, right? And there's no mistakes. There's only wrong turns. And you can always turn around and go to just continue.
You said it well. Are you coming, Paul?
I'm definitely there. I need to see that grill. I need to see the... No, it looks really great what you guys are trying to create. And it really makes me wonder, where do you guys see this going over the next couple of years? And where would you like it to grow into? And what would be like... I don't know, who would you love to see on your stage? Let's see if we can pull that name out of the hat now, and then it actually happens in a couple of years, and I can be like, yep, it's the Uptime Punks who made it happen again. where do you guys see this event going over the next couple of years, and who would you love to see?
I think it's like a Hollywood, right? Every year, the first actor and actresses are on the change. So we're not going to name or... you know, put anybody's name forward, say, hey, this is the person we're going to go for, because that person might not be relevant for the startup ecosystem next year or following year. I mean, for 5-10 years to come, we're gonna start. We would like to grow in a way. In the past, we said we are going to be relevant. People have a quality time, and we would love to invite most impactful and relevant people to our event. You take it up to 500, 200, 300 people. The number can go on. The people can create impact and make sense to our audience to meet and engage with. One thing we've been telling our speakers, we are not going to create a massive backstage for you. You need to be accessible and available to our startup ecosystem, because you're here for our crowd to learn and to share your insight and have that accessibility. It's really important for Tech Barbecue. That's something we're going to continue, you know, envisioning for.
That's actually a really good point, because whenever, you know, a speaker comes off the stage, whether it's the stage with the biggest audience or a smaller stage, they're always coming off in the open. And so every year we see people who, you know, they get up from their seats and they go and they queue up to talk to the speakers. And that could be David Simas, who was the CEO of the Obama Foundation. It could be Prince Constantine, who's coming this year from the Netherlands. Like, these, we don't kind of hide people around. The whole point is to be like inclusive, and you have access to people you wouldn't normally have access to. And I think it's really more like making sure that as you grow, you maintain those values that you started with, because of course, 10, 15 years in one event can be, that's hard to maintain, yeah. Right? If you're growing at such a scale. So, but you would love to see Obama, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. But for sure that he's one of the, you know, the most, you know, yeah, relevant people for our audience to hear and listen, because, you know, he made some changes. Mm. We're not going to, again, big talk politics yet, but hey, different, you know, different people may have different view to this. But overall, I think we want to continue with our mission, making sure Nordic is on the spotlight. We showcase them enough in order to make enough noise about Nordics. And of course, we have a global role to this, you know, tech trends and so forth would follow. And on the mission, we are hoping to create a platform. At least 2 or 3 handshake you have at Tech Barbecue is relevant for you as a minimum. You know, this is, you know, if you meet 5 people, 2 out of 5, it's relevant handshake for you as an attendee, and have amazing, unique experience. And when you leave Tech Barbecue, you remember the days you have, and you completely unplug from whatever, excuse my French, shit show happening in your personal or business life. So that's a mission we have. And on a global scale, at the tech trend, if we can talk about that, if that's the angle you would like,
yeah,
to see 5 years from now.
Flying cars?
That's it. It's done. Let's talk about other businesses, right? You know, you had the launch from Apple. I don't know much about it. Please don't corner me. I haven't studied it. I've been quite busy. But if you have the insight, it sounds quite interesting and what they have come up with. But hey, is this it? Are we done with what we need to do? But I believe not. But I will actually break it down to a couple of things and the different aspect of the 5 or 6 or 10 years from now. We'd love to talk about impact, innovation, and the global economy, perhaps. This is what we are facing these days more than ever. On the impact side, yes, again, let's talk about policies and, you know, the politics and everything else. But what we have witnessed, we have a lot of talking, but nobody is actually taking the corrective actions these days. In my opinion, what we will see going forward in 5-10 years from now, especially maybe in the developing ecosystems. A developing ecosystem, there is an implementation phase for them, but creating policy and forces to become a sustainable and make great social impact, create some social impact on the global scale of tech ecosystem, and paving a path for new generation of leaders and change makers who wants to reverse the wrongdoing of a past generation on the global impact. And I mean, giving good examples, Kay, maybe you should have jump in, like tech for good, diversity in tech, and reshaping the future of Planet A. These are the initiatives you will probably see coming back and being implemented and becoming on the race, on, you know, making sure policies are in place to follow the trends?
I think what I would like to see, it's not to say that I have a crystal ball and this is going to be the case, but I think
next episode, Paul.
Yeah. I guess, like, also thinking about a program, like, from the program side, the content that I'm making now, I hope to not be making in 10 years time, because that's been solved. And, like, one of the things that is a big conversation, if we're thinking about impact, is, like, the deep tech kind of valley of death. And basically, and yeah, like, how do we get deep tech startups funded throughout the R&D process so that they can actually commercialize, go to market, and then we can have these amazing technologies that are there to kind of change the course of our very morbid future at this point, to be able to mix into the model that is VC, because right now it doesn't seem like it's connecting in the right way, or it's very hard for VCs to, just based on the fact that it's, you know, maximum returns, minimal risk, to invest in these technologies that could potentially save the day. Yeah. And I think for me, in 5 to 10 years time, that is something that needs to kind of change or find a new path for funding. Yeah. I don't know, more government grants, but that, yeah, for me is like a kind of precise thing that I'd love to have figured out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And on the economy side, actually, I would say this is, again, it becomes a bit controversial, and I'm not going to go deep into this, but the current status of the kind of where we are heading towards the second tough year in the global economy and the challenges we are facing in the macro economy as well. It's I believe, this is my own opinion, again, don't take this to the politician and start quoting me on this, but I believe this is kind of healthy for the society, because what we're going to see is a new condition for talent, and plus, I believe, deeper and more liquid capital available for startups. And from this cycle, I believe we come back with a healthier ecosystem. What would happen eventually, we would see a devastating kind of cycle out of this. We would have short-term and fewer companies starting in this period. But once they come back, they are the one they're going to win the game, right? In the past few years, I believe it was a bubble, which is best, which we all know that. There are many talks and, you know, topics around this. But I think we are filtering what has happened for the past few years. Once we come back, this economical situation, it will help startups come back stronger and have a solid foundation and the greater shapes they want to achieve in the future.
That's great. Let's hope it all works out for everyone. Yeah. And that great. And I hope that barbecue is 10 by 10 meters in 5 years' time. No, tech is a really fast-paced environment. I mean, some of the things that we're using nowadays, like, let's say, ChatGPT, I mean, nobody could have thought about this 2 years ago, huh? But now it's like normality, and the school kids even have to show now their exams that they're not using. There's programs now to check if an essay was written in ChatGPT when it's submitted for university. So this just shows you.
I'm surprised it came on really late, but I was waiting for that. I'm really happy to hear that that's happening.
So it's stuff like this. I think from my perspective, what's going to be a big discussion point over the next couple of years is going to be how to legally restrict AI and tech before it gets out of hand. Because I think there's a lot of innovations and things coming up. Our favorite South African in the world, she's bringing now this microchip, which is implanted in your brain, and you can control devices and all of these things. I mean, that's cyber tech for you right there. The future is that really biotech, and yeah, it's endless. And nobody knows what's going to happen. But maybe, I mean, I had 3 years ago, I had somebody on the podcast already had an NFT chip implanted in his finger to pay for the Oyster in London to go on the trains. He had all his cards and car keys on it, and he just touches his car like this and everything opens. So, yeah, let's see where the future takes us.
That is what we were saying earlier. Impact would play actually a huge role, and that one of the initiatives will come in probably creating policy for tech for good. Because yes, you know, innovation plays a huge role in tech trends and so forth. But looking back, I mean, traditional industries shouldn't be scared. Look back what Uber done, you know, Airbnb or Facebook done. We haven't, you know, you live in London, you live in the UK, you know, there was a phase mini cabs and black cabs were scared of the future, but has Uber replaced them completely? No. There has, you know, the hotel industry gone down in the tourism, yes, to some extent, yes and no, but they started innovating their system to cope with the tech trends. As far as Facebook, we thought, oh my God, this is gonna be all virtual. We're not gonna see each other because Facebook and, you know, previous generation of the social media would replace. Yes, they set a new scene that, you know, we have been seeing so many influencers coming in. That's a new tech trend, right? They set, and but I think computers replacing humans, discussion, you know, they won't replace it. Yeah, that's definitely, they are binary. They're not going to control. We are controlling innovation. We are controlling AI.
Give me Frankenstein situation.
Yeah, we never know. We get that. But socially, that's there's nothing can replace the human social intelligence in the short run or long run, in my opinion. This is, again, my own opinion.
That's your theory. But the thing is also, like, let's go back to the Facebook thing. Everybody thought the metaverse is the next thing. And guess what? It's one of the biggest flops probably in tech because Facebook is not getting it off the ground because people don't want to be some virtual character. I mean, we had this with our Game Boys and PlayStation 10, 15 years ago. And people, after the pandemic, sort of want to see each other face to face. And this just showcases you that, yeah, human interaction is something you will never be able to replace. And that's why events like yours is important because nobody's going to give you $1 million for your startup if they haven't met you in person.
What it would matter in this maybe next tech trend, it would be making sure the technology is in good hands. You know, the AI is in good hands. If it becomes a political agenda, it would go wrong way. So that's what we need to do, continue talking about this years to come.
Perfect. Thank you, both of you. I think to finish it, how do you say in Danish, we hope to see you at the Tech Barbecue in Copenhagen. Maybe one of you two could say that. Close off the episode.
The Danish is okay. Super rusty.
We hope to see you at the next Tech Barbecue. That's what you said.
Yeah, I'll see you at the Tech Barbecue in September. This is the States or stuff like this. How do you say the Danish?
Tech barbecue.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, guys. Cheers. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.